Let's take a review from the last Bible study, which covered just chapter 25. Chapter 25 was God's instructions to Moses for the design and construction of the tabernacle. And these instructions, starting in chapter 25, are going to continue all the way through to chapter 31. So Moses is still on the mount with God, 40 days, and he's receiving these instructions about how to build the tabernacle, etc. We talked about in the sermon and the Bible study last time that the tabernacle is a type of Jesus Christ. A key verse in chapter 25 is, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And that would be even fulfilled even beyond their time in the future when Jesus Christ would come to this earth the first time. And we read about this in John chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Chapter 25, we talked about the last time, discusses most of the furniture in the tabernacle. We talked about the ark, one of the important features of the tabernacle. The ark contained the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. Above the ark was the mercy seat, which represents God's throne. The mercy seat was on top of the ark where the Ten Commandments were. The significance of this is that God rules by law, but when we sin, he extends mercy to us. Another item of furniture in the tabernacle from chapter 25 was the table of showbread. The table of showbread had 12 loaves upon it. These 12 loaves represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And the significance of this was fellowship with God between the children of Israel and their Creator. Another item of furniture in the tabernacle was the lampstand. The lampstand was made of pure gold, and it was the only light in the holy place. The symbolism of this, one of the symbolisms, is that Christ is the light of the world. Another important key verse in chapter 25 is verse number 9, where God said to Moses, "According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." Just so you shall make it. In other words, according to the exact details and specifications that I give you, make them exactly as I've told you. And these details are going to continue on in chapter 26 and 27. You're going to notice all the details that are spelled out in the various items in these chapters. Chapter 26 discusses the tabernacle. The tabernacle, of course, was in the center of the Israelite camp, and the tabernacle was a portable sanctuary that the children of Israel could take down, carry with them, and then set up. And it would be a place of worship. Chapter 26 covers the tent covering, and you can see there in the picture, it shows a cutaway view of the tent covering, and it also covers the structure, what holds it up. Chapter 27, which we will get to in this Bible study as well, discusses the courtyard. The courtyard was fenced in, and it had a gate, an entryway, that will be discussed in chapter 27, and also the altar, which was the first thing that you saw when you came in to the courtyard. So those are discussed in chapter 27. And we also will discuss the various symbolisms of these items as we go along. So we'll go ahead and get into chapter 26. Chapter 26, in verses 1 through 14, it discusses the tabernacle's curtains. The tabernacle's curtains, which is actually four layers of material. Now don't let this word, our English word curtains, throw you off. When we think of curtains, we think of window dressing, something in front of windows. This is actually talking about layers of tent material. So all of you that are familiar with camping, I don't know how many campers we have amongst us, but you've put up your tent. And it's a layer that covers you, protects you from the weather. What's being discussed here is those tent layers, but they're called curtains in our English version. There's actually going to be four tent layers. When you go camping, I haven't been camping in many years, but you have a tent, and most of the time you roll up that tent, and it's one piece of material. This tent is actually going to have four layers above it as coverings. And that's what's discussed in verses 1 through 14. And then verses 1 through 6 covers the innermost layer, the first layer, the one that would be seen by the priest from the inside. Okay, so let's get started now. Verse number 1. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains, or as I would call them, layers, of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. So, verse number 1 is talking about the first layer of material, the first tent layer. And this is the most beautiful layer, the most beautiful layer. Verse number 2 gives us the dimensions. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. And I'll actually have those broken down into our type of measurements here in just a few minutes. Here's a comment from the Nelson Study Bible. In Exodus, the description of the tabernacle begins with the inside layer, according to God's view, so to speak, and moves to the outside. Thus, the 10 curtains are described first, or in other words, the first layer of tent material. Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this about the cherubim. The cherubim were also woven into the curtains that cover the tabernacle itself, and into the curtain between the holy place and the most holy place. So let's examine our English word curtain now, using the theological word book of the Old Testament. It says this: since tents were made out of curtains, these two words are paralleled frequently in the Old Testament. In other words, we see the word tents and curtains, we're talking about the same thing. Not window dressing, we're talking about tent layer material. In symbolic language, God is pictured as spreading out the heavens like a tent or curtain. Little effort on his part, and yet complete control is thus emphasized. Here's a companion scripture in Psalm 104, verse 2. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Again, companion verse to what we're talking about here with the tabernacle, the first layer. Verse number 3. Five curtains of this first layer shall be coupled to one another. This would form one set. And the other five curtains shall be coupled to another set. And they're going to be coupled, assembled together, and then taken apart. So again, when you go camping and you set up your tent, you start to roll it up, you have one layer of material, let's say. Here we're going to have curtains that are going to be coupled together. Tent layer material, this first layer, and they're going to be in sections, not just one layer, not just one piece altogether. Verse number 4. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the other set. And all these would be coupled together. Here's a picture. This is actually in the Holy of Holies, an artist's concept of what this first layer looked like. Of course, this is the mercy seat here with the cherubim above it. So this is in the Holy of Holies. Notice this structure here. See the blue material here. This is what the priests would see, that first layer of tent material. And it was very, very beautiful. And this is kind of an artist's concept of what it looked like. Now I want you to notice as well the construction here with these pillars, these boards, and how these clasps are put on the boards with the poles in between them. That was the structure of the tent, of the tabernacle. Like, if you're building a tent, it's mostly like these, most likely these aluminum frame poles. That was the structure of the tabernacle. Now, I want to point something else out before we go on as well. Notice the separation in these boards, so you can see the first layer of material. Most everything that I've read in the commentaries, etc., say that the priest could see that first layer from the inside. And I'm stressing this because I've got another picture coming later on where it doesn't show this separation. But apparently that separation was there. Okay, Nelson's Study Bible. These 10 curtains were divided into two sets. The inner curtains were made of delicate fabric with brilliant colors and exquisite design. And the color that's shown in this picture is blue. All of this was hidden from public view. The curtains were grouped in 10 sections so that they could be moved easily. That's what the whole point of all this was. They're on the move. Everything had to be so that they could put it together and take it apart very quickly and assemble it, take it apart, etc. Okay, let's continue on now. More details about this first layer. 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the edge of the, on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. You shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle, or better said, one tent. Here's from the verse number 6 from today's English version. I think it makes it a little more clear. Make 50 gold hooks with which to join the two sets into one piece. And that is how they would join this first layer. Bible Knowledge Commentary. The 10 curtains together, and here's the measurements now from previously, measured 60 feet by 42 feet. There was 10 curtains, each 6 foot wide. So that's the breakdown of our measurements in feet from the cubits that was given in verse number 2. One more comment from the Nelson Study Bible. Every detail of the curtains was specified, including directions for making the loops and the clasps. With these curtains were linked together to form the tent. So specific directions and specifications. This ends the description of the first layer. That beautiful layer that could be seen from the inside. Now we come to verses 7 through 13, which covers the second layer of material, which is curtains of goat's hair, or a layer of goat's hair. Verse number 7. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent or a covering over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. So this second layer is going to have two sets that would make 11 of them all together. One set of 5 and one set of 6. And that's discussed in verse number 9. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall have all the same measurements. Okay, so this second layer is going to be made out of goat's hair. The Nelson Study Bible describes what the goat's hair layer is. The coarse fabric of the outer curtains protected the delicate fabrics within from the elements. Goat's hair was a rich black fabric, highly prized in the ancient world. And the Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this. It was a black, weather-resistant material still used today by Bedouins in tent making. So this second layer of goat's hair, still used today, would protect that beautiful layer, the inside layer. Verse number 9. And you shall couple 5 curtains, that's one set, by themselves, and 6 curtains, that's another set, by themselves. And you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. So this one's going to be longer, the second layer, than the first layer, and they'll actually wrap it around so that it covers all the parts of the tabernacle. We see that there's 11 involved here, 11 curtains in this layer. Nelson's Study Bible again. The outer curtains, talking about the second layer of goat's hair, has to be larger than the inner curtains, the beautiful layer, to assure complete coverage. The extra outer curtain was used over the front of the tent, so it would wrap around. Verse number 10, more instructions about the second layer. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain, that is the outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. Verse 11, and you shall make 50 bronze clasps. Put the clasps into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. Verse 13, and a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. In other words, complete coverage of the second layer to protect the first layer. Bible Knowledge Commentary. This second layer, they were longer than the inner curtains, 45 feet rather than 42 feet, so that they touched the ground on the tabernacle sides, as it says in verse 13. This hid from view the brilliant colors of the inner curtains and the costly pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. Only the priests were allowed into the tabernacle. They were the ones that could see that beautiful inner layer. The outer layers could be seen by the public from the outside. Verse number 13 ends the description of the second layer. Now verse 14 describes the upper two layers of the tent. Verse 14, you shall also make a covering of ram skins, dyed red for the tent, that's the third layer, and a covering of badger skins above that. So verse 14 covers the last two layers. Third layer of ram skins and the fourth layer of badger skins, also called in other versions sea cows. Here's what it looked like from an artist's concept. The four layers together, and you can see the outer layers, the last layer, is not very beautiful at all. But its purpose is for protection from the weather and elements more than beauty. Bible Knowledge Commentary. Over the goat hair curtains were to be placed two other curtains, or as I've been mentioning, tent layers, ram skins dyed red, and the hides of sea cows. They were probably placed over the goat hair curtains. This is still the custom of some Bedouins today. So they still make tents in a similar procedure even today. So that's what it looked like after the four layers covered the tabernacle. Now we come to verses 15 through 30 that discusses the tabernacle's framework. Just like if you put together a tent with its aluminum poles, the tabernacle is made of a wooden frame. Verse number 15. And the tabernacle, and for the tabernacle you shall make the boards, or we could say pillars, of acacia wood, standing upright. Remember from the last time, acacia wood was very abundant in the desert. It was very sturdy, still used in furniture making today, and it resisted insects. That's going to be the pillars. Verse 16 gives the dimensions. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. And I'll have that for you here in a moment. Bible Knowledge Commentary, talking about the frame for the tabernacle. Apparently the walls of the tabernacle were not solid, but consisted of wooden upright frames forming a trellis construction over which the curtains were draped. Here's the artist concept again of a cutaway of the tabernacle. Here's a cutaway of the four layers of tent layers above. And here again is the pillars with the clasps and the poles in between. This doesn't show the separations like I showed you in that first picture, but apparently the separations were there. Nelson Study Bible, here's the dimensions. Each board was about 15 feet long and 2.25 feet wide. 20 boards were on the north side, verse 20. 20 were on the south side, verse 18. And 6 were on the west. Corner posts stabilized the structure. Okay, now more details about the framework. Verse 17. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. So at the bottom of each frame, they would have to have these tenons so that they could be inserted into the bases. Verse number 18. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. Verse 19. And you shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. Okay, if you're going to build a deck, and I know I found this out here in Arkansas more than I would in Michigan. I got Bill's attention here. When I built a deck up in Michigan, I had to put my posts for the framework. I had to go down 42 inches in the ground to put my concrete below the frost level because the frost and the freeze is strong up in Michigan. Here, the frost and the freeze doesn't affect so much. So you can actually go to a supply store and you can get these little concrete bases to put the post in to build your deck. That is what is talked about with these 40 sockets of silver. So these post bases for the pillars of the tabernacle are made out of silver. Very, very expensive. Very expensive. Okay. The frames, from verse number 19, were fit into a foundation of 40 silver sockets or bases on each side. Okay? And this is the reason why I'm using this particular picture. You can see these bases down here. It doesn't look like silver from this drawing, but they were made of silver. These boards fit into these bases, sockets of silver. When we get to chapter 30, we'll talk about this a little bit more. But the children of Israel had to actually contribute the silver, which represented redemption, saving them from death and the plagues. And it was used for these foundations, symbolic of a foundation of redemption. So again, symbolism even in the foundation of 40 silver sockets. And we'll talk about that more when we come to chapter 30. Israel actually contributed 1,000 talents of silver. That's 7,500 pounds, and a lot of that was used in these bases. And this is described as atonement or ransom redemption money. Again, symbolism, foundation of redemption. Okay, here's some more description about the framework. Verse 20. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards. That's going to be 45 feet in total length. Verse 21, and there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each boards. Verse 22, for the far side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards. That would total up to 15 feet. Verse 23, and you shall also make 2 boards for the back corners of the tabernacle. Verse 24, they shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them, and they shall be for the 2 corners. Verse 25. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. Again, detailed description of what they are going to make, and all this is portable. Now, these silver sockets were very, very heavy. Very, very heavy. In fact, I think I tabulated that. Oh, I forgot what I did tabulate on this, but they were real heavy. I think I've got this coming up here in a few moments. Verse 24 from Expositors. The Hebrew word for corner apparently means angle. Thus, 1 frame was cut down to the center on a miter, and the 2 pieces would form the corner or angle frame on the 2 sides of the corner. For you carpenters out there. Verse 25, a comment from the Tanakh Translation Jewish Study Bible. Silver is chosen for the sockets, despite the fact that the planks are inside the tabernacle, because gold is not strong enough to support the planks. So they used silver instead of gold, because gold is not as strong as silver. More instructions, verse 26. And you shall make the bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. Verse 28. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold. Make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. So those rings that are on the boards with the poles going through are made of gold, and the bars are overlaid with gold. Talked about the fact that 1 ton of gold was used in the construction of the tabernacle the last time. Bible Knowledge Commentary. The frames were also secured by a series of 15 crossbars, 5 on each of the 2 sides and 5 at the back, that fit through the gold rings horizontally. These bars were to be overlaid with gold. That ends the description of the framework for the tabernacle. Now, in verses 31 through 35, we have the instructions for the tabernacle's veil that would separate the holy place from the most holy place. Verse 31, you shall make a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Some of these representing royalty, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. Verse 32, you shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. Okay, here's a artist's concept of what the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place with the cherubims woven into it. Our English word veil comes from a Hebrew word which means to separate. And it separated the holy place from the most holy place. The Tanakh Jewish Study Bible says this about the veil. The curtain from the Hebrew parochet for the holy place is again made of the finest materials and decorated with cherubs because of its contiguity with the Holy of Holies. So it's going to be separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where God's presence would be. Thus it has cherubim woven in it. The veil divided the holy place where the ark was located from the holy place where the lampstand, the incense altar, and the table of showbread were located. And that's a little cutaway of what it looked like. More instructions, verse 33. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps, and you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. So the veil screened access to God's throne in the most holy place. Only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies. Here's the artist's concept of cutaway of what this looked like. Here's the veil hung from the clasps up here. And it's dividing. This is a cutaway of it. Here's the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is. The cherubim in a pillar, you know, of God's presence. And it divides the most holy place from the holy place. Here's one piece of furniture, the incense altar, which we'll cover that later on in another Bible study. So this side here is the holy place, and the veil divides it from the most holy place. Verse 34, you shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. So again, here's the ark with the mercy seat on top of it. And inside the ark is the 2 tablets of the 10 commandments. That's in the most holy place. Verse 35, and you shall set the table outside the veil, and the lampstand across the table on the side of the tabernacle towards the south, and you shall put the table on the north. So verse 35 is talking about the division. There's the veil. Now over here is the holy place. The three pieces of furniture, the lampstand, which we talked about the last time, the table of showbread here, and the incense altar, which we'll get to when we come to another book in Exodus. So the veil separates the holy place from the most holy place. The veil pictures the flesh of Christ. Talking about the tabernacle is a type of Christ. Companion scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. The unrent veil pictures man cut off from the Father. The veil being rent in two pictures our access to the Father. Companion scripture, when Jesus Christ was dying. Chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So the veil being torn pictures our access to God the Father, which Christ provided for us. It symbolized that through Christ we have access to the Father. Christ made it possible. In the time of ancient Israel, only the high priest could go beyond that veil once a year on the Day of Atonement. That was it. The veil being rent upon Christ's death pictures our access to the mercy seat and being able to come to God the Father. Verse 36. Now this is talking about the entrance into the tabernacle. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, made by a weaver. So verse 36 is talking about the screen door of the tabernacle. There's the tent layers that we talked about, covering it. Here's the screen, the door, to enter the tabernacle. The parallel Bible commentary adds this. The entire tabernacle pointed west, and could only be entered from the one door on the eastern end. Verse 37. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood. And that's shown in this drawing here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The five pillars. And overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold. And you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. Okay, so we have the screen is the entrance of the tabernacle. The Tanakh Jewish Study Bible says this. It is made of the same fine materials as the veil, but since it is not contiguous with the Holy of Holies, it is not adorned with cherubs, and its sockets are made of a less valuable metal, copper or bronze. And it is done in embroidery, apparently a less sophisticated weave than that is used for the veil. So this is not near as costly, the screen door entrance, as the veil was. And Expositors adds this about verse 37. Since the curtain went to the outside and to the corners of the wall, it had five posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold instead of four. That brings us to the end of chapter 26. Now we come to chapter 27, which is actually a shorter chapter. Chapter 27 discusses the courtyard. The courtyard. Verse number 1. You shall make an altar. This is the first thing that you would see when you came into the courtyard. An altar of acacia wood. 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square. And its height shall be 3 cubits. This is the first thing that you'd see coming into the courtyard. This is where sacrifices are going to take place. We'll talk about that more later on. Here's the dimensions of the cubits from Expositors. It measured 7.5 feet square by 4.5 feet high. That's the dimensions. The Tanakh Translation Jewish Study Bible This is the main altar on which animal and grain offerings were burnt and wine offerings were poured. Here's a picture again of what we're talking about here, verse number one. This is the fence. This is what we call the courtyard. The first thing that you saw when you come in through the gate, which we'll talk about that here shortly, is the altar. This is where the animal sacrifices would take place. When one of the children of Israel wanted to have his sins atoned, he'd bring in the animal, and the priest would meet him in front of the altar, and it would be sacrificed. Verse 2, you shall make its horns on its four corners. Its horns shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. So this is a close-up view of what that altar looked like as you came into the courtyard. Expositors adds this, the horns were projections of the four corner posts, but of one piece with the altar. They symbolized power, help, and sanctuary. So even the four horns symbolized something, power, help, and sanctuary. The reason the horns symbolized the atoning power of the altar was that in the atonement ritual, some of the blood was put on the horns before the rest was poured out at the base of the altar. We'll talk about this more in Leviticus with the sacrifices, but they put a little bit of blood on those horns and then pour out the blood at the base. Okay, verse number 3, you shall also make its pans to receive its ashes, and its shovels, and its basins, and its forks, and its fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. So these are the various utensils that would be used in the sacrifice with the animal. Expositors adds this. The pans were to hold the ashes when they were removed from the hearth by shovels. The basins were to catch the blood of the animals slain beside the altar. The forks were for arranging the sacrifice or retracting the piece portion, just like we would do in our barbecue. We got our fork to move the meat. The fire pans were for carrying the fire from the altar of incense inside the holy place. Verse number 4, more description. You shall make a grate for it, a network of bronze, where the sacrifice would sit on it, the animal. And on the network you shall make four bronze rings at its four corners. Verse 5, you shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath, that the network may be midway up the altar. Verse 4 and 5, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, the grating or bronze network placed on a ledge within and halfway up the altar helped reinforce the altar and may have been where the animal meat was cooked. Parallel Bible Commentary adds this. The brazen altar had a grate of network of brass and functioned much like a modern barbecue pit. So think of it like our barbecue pit. That's what the altar was. The animal was put on there. And actually, some of it, we'll talk about this more later on, some of the sacrifices, the burnt sacrifices, was completely burned up. But others were actually eaten, some of it by the priests and some of it by the worshiper as well. Okay, we'll talk about that more later on. Okay, verse number 6. And you shall make poles for the altar. They had to carry this through the desert. You shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. Again, there's poles to carry it with. The poles shall be put in the rings, and the poles shall be on the sides of the altar to bear it. Bible Knowledge Commentary, poles were to be overlaid with bronze and inserted into the bronze rings at the altar's corner for use in carrying the altar. Verse number 8, you shall make it hollow with boards, as it was shown you on the mountain, so they shall make it. Bible Knowledge Commentary, the bottom half of the altar was to be hollow, but it later may have been filled with small stones, with the fire being built on the rocks. Now, as I mentioned, here's another picture of it. The brazen altar was the first thing that you saw when you came upon entering the courtyard where the sacrifices took place. Here's a picture of it. Well, again, we'll talk about this more in Leviticus. Here's the priest with the fire going. Here's the worshiper. He's brought his animal inside to be sacrificed to make atonement for him. This represents this altar, the instrument on which Christ was sacrificed, and pictures his sacrifice for sin. And of course, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ was typified by many of the sacrifices. And we'll talk about that again when we get into Leviticus. Now we go from the altar to talking about the courtyard fence. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side, there shall be hangings, which a better term would be fence. So that's a cutaway picture of the fence. For the court, made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side. That comes to 150 feet. The courtyard, with its draperies, like it's shown in this picture here, served as a buffer zone to separate the ceremonies of worship from the common areas. So in other words, here's all the tents where the children of Israel were. The fence kept the common people out. Only the worshiper could come into the courtyard with his animal, and only the priest could go into the tabernacle. Okay, the courtyard was a type of courtyard of redemption, where redemption took place, where the sacrifices took place on behalf of the worshiper. Verse number 10, and its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets shall be bronze. This had pillars, just like we'd have posts of a fence. I've got a fence around my backyard made of wood, and it's got posts with wood in between. This has posts, but with sockets at the bottom, and then the material in between. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be silver. Above these sockets of bronze that's holding up the pillars of the fence, the Companion Bible says this: the sockets of these pillars, or the way of access of bronze, denotes judgment and righteousness. So even a little bit of symbolism in the courtyard fence. Likewise, verse number 11, along the length of the north side there shall be hangings, fence, 100 cubits long, and its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze, and the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver. So verse number 11 is talking about the north side of the fence. The parallel Bible commentary: the court of the tabernacle was a large open area, approximately 150 by 75 feet, and surrounded the tent itself. So that gives you the dimensions. 150 by 75. The area was enclosed by a fence of hangings, curtains, that were 7.5 feet tall. So that fence was pretty tall, 7.5 feet. Inside the courtyard is where the animals were sacrificed and the priests carried out their duties. The court represents the activity of Christ, pictures the plan of salvation, and the need for redemption. So it had meaning for the children of Israel in that day and time, and it symbolizes it has meaning for us as well. Verse number 12. And along the width of the court of the west side shall be hangings, a fence, of 50 cubits with their 10 pillars and 10 sockets. So, this is the north side here. That's the west side. And then we'll come to the south side and the east side. Verse number 13. The width of the court on the east side shall be 50 cubits. That's this side right here where the fence is. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, which is 22.5 feet, with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. And on the other side of the hangings shall be 15 cubits, 22.5 feet, with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. The whole east side is 75 feet. The gate, and we'll get to that here just shortly, was 30 feet, and then 22 and a half feet on one side with the fence, and 22 and a half on the other. Okay, again, here's the cutaway of the fence. The linen fence separated the courtyard of the tabernacle where worship ceremonies took place from the common outside area where all the other tents of the Israelites were. The linen fence represented the demarcation between the world of sin on the outside and the redemptive court on the inside. So worship took place on the other side of the fence. Now we come, we're winding down here now, to the gate, the only way into the courtyard. The gate of the court shall be a screen 20 cubits long, that's 30 feet, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have four pillars and four sockets. Here's a cutaway of the gate with the pillars and the sockets and the woven material in between. And that's the whole thing put together there, the only way into the courtyard. The entrance into the courtyard was only through the gate, a type of Jesus Christ. The only way to the Father is through Christ by his sacrifice. More symbolism. Here's a companion scripture, John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Another companion scripture, John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the children of Israel, when they sinned, and they had to have their sins atoned, the only way into the courtyard was through the gate, symbolized by Jesus Christ being the only way to the Father, or symbolism in that gate. Verse number 19, all the utensils of the tabernacle, for all its service, all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. The tabernacle here means the courtyard, all the material involved with it. Nelson Study Bible, the pegs made of bronze were used for ropes to hold the supporting pillars of the courtyard. Everything was designed for portability. As we read through this real quick, we don't really get that in our minds, but they had to be able to take this apart, put it together, and move the next day or whenever they would move. All designed to be portable. Just like we have a tent, we put it in the back of our car and go to the campyard. Verse 17, all the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits and the width 50 throughout. And the height 5 cubits made of fine woven linen and sockets of bronze. New Bible commentary. The distinction between the holiness of the courtyard and the tabernacle is reflected in the value of the materials used in their construction. Not near as valuable materials in the courtyard as in the tabernacle. Whereas gold was regularly used in the tabernacle, the main metals used in the courtyard were silver and bronze. This ends the instructions for the courtyard. We come to the final two verses of chapter 26, or 27, I'm sorry. Verse 20 discusses the oil that would be used for the tabernacle, the children of Israel had to provide. Verse 20, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. Nelson Study Bible, the fuel for the lamps, pure oil of pressed olives, burned with little smoke. The purity of the oil was indicative of the standard God demanded for all sacrifices offered to him. And from the Tanakh, oil will have to be requested regularly, since unlike the materials used to construct the sanctuary, the oil supply is depletable. So they had to regularly bring oil for the lamp to burn. Now we come to the last verse in chapter 27, which actually introduces us to the next chapter, chapter 28, concerning the priests. Chapter 28 is going to talk about what the priests would wear. This introduces us to that. Verse 21. In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. So we're getting introduced to who's going to be the priests, Aaron and his sons. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. The New Bible Commentary, to finish. Responsibility for keeping the lamps burning each night was assigned to Aaron and his sons. Mention of them, here in verse 21, provides a link with the next set of directives concerning the consecration of the priests for service within the sanctuary. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next Bible study next month, is the priests, their consecration, and what they would wear. But as we always do, let's take a look at some lessons that we've been talking about here in these instructions. The temporary dwelling of the tabernacle that Israel would build continues until the time of Solomon, when a fixed structure, the temple, would be built. So they're going to use this all the time through the wilderness wanderings, while they're in the promised land, until David's son Solomon would build the temple. The temple foreshadows the kingdom of God, the time when Christ will take up permanent residence on the earth. We talked about that in the sermon the last time. Another lesson. We have seen intricate details of the curtains, the veil, the altar, the courtyard. When God designs and builds, he does so by careful and skillful planning and craftsmanship. You know, not only do we see it in the instructions, the details of the tabernacle and furniture, courtyard, etc., we look around us and we see the detail of God's creation. In the sky above us, the birds, the planets, flowers, even our created bodies. God creates everything wonderfully by his design, his craftsmanship, and his planning. There's a lesson for us. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. That brings us to the end of this Bible study. Unless there's any questions or comments.